Hey, Indie Filmmakers, I'm Nick Bodmer.
I'm Griffin Hammond, and today, the story of the Swiss tourist who crashed his drone near Times Square, and why the judge in this case refused to let me film in the courtroom. Hello, Nick.
You were denied, sir. You were denied.
I think this is the
you
first...
You were in a courtroom, is that right? This is for real?
Yeah.
You're not just telling me a made-up story?
Yeah, So I live near all the courts in New York. Like it's a 5-minute walk for me to go down.
Mm-hmm.
I did jury duty last year. I think ever since I did jury duty, I've been kind of interested in what are you allowed to do in the courtroom as a journalist? And, you know, especially since I'm so close, like, let me try going down there and shooting things and covering stories.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the name Paolo Prezzetti?
I'm not. Is he a very famous person I should be aware of?
No, he's not famous. Let me pull up his record here. There's a system, the New York State Unified Court System has an online system called Web Criminal.
Ooh.
And
don't type in my name.
Yeah, no, I don't think he'd show up here. But Paolo Prezzetti,
maybe.
He is a 29-year-old Swiss national who was in New York as a tourist, and on October 21st of last year, it may have been the day before, that he crashed his drone into a building.
A tourist is in trouble after crashing a drone through a window of a building near Times Square.
His drone smashing through a window on the building's 21st floor.
29-year-old Paolo Prezzetti was walked out of the precinct in handcuffs this afternoon and put into a waiting squad car.
And I think this happened at night, because then the next day he showed up in the lobby of the building, because I think he could see that it had crashed and probably landed on a balcony on like the 7th floor or something. And so he showed up in the lobby and like asked about it, and then they arrested him.
Oh, shouldn't have said anything there, Paolo.
Right.
Should have just walked away.
Well,
it's illegal to fly in Manhattan, right?
You can't just go
launch a drone.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules about why you can't fly in New York, but also the basic FAA rule is that you can't fly over people. And so,
right.
You've stayed in New York around that area of town a lot. What is it like?
It's very crowded. There's a lot of people. I don't think you could launch a drone and not be flying over people.
Right. But what's funny is there's a history of people around that area, especially probably just because that's where a lot of people stay. A lot of people flying drones like off their hotel balcony, like they're starting on the 10th floor and then they lose control of it, probably because the wind is crazy or something. And
well, I could see attempting this, you know, like it's not out of the realm of possibility that I'd launch a drone off of my hotel balcony and try and go get a cool shot and fly it back. I don't think I'd crash though.
Especially if you're a tourist and you don't necessarily know the rules. You may have even like just walked down the street and bought it at B&H and you don't know that you're not allowed to do it.
Okay, so he crashed it. He got arrested.
Yeah.
Now, he's not from the United States, so I'm assuming he fled the country when his return trip was over.
Well, I think, like, he's arrested and he's immediately taken to some sort of court where they release him immediately, because it's not like he's violent and a threat to society, although he did endanger people, potentially. His crime is, if I can read this legalese, it's all, like, in abbreviations on the web criminal system. It's criminal misdemeanor, reckless property damage in the amount of $250, I guess, or, you know, $250 or under property damage, I guess. So maybe not very significant in the eyes of the law.
Well, that's good.
So he's released on his own recognizance. And then I was tracking his case because I was very interested. And so I'm using this system to just keep an eye on when is he going to be in court again. And I think they skipped one of his court dates, and then they moved his court date to like January, so like months after the event. And I'm thinking, well, surely he's back home now, right? Like, you wouldn't just stay in the U.S. for months.
Wouldn't fly back or stay there for months, right?
Right.
Are you legally required to? Like, how does that work?
Well, I don't know. So I can't even remember exactly what day it was. I think it was like January 10th. He's supposed to be back in court. So I decide I'm going to go, and I'm wondering if I can film in the courtroom. And you are potentially allowed to. Like, there's a section in the New York law that says in order to maintain the broadest scope of public access to the courts, to preserve public confidence in the judiciary, and to foster public understanding of the role of the judiciary branch in civil society, it is the policy of the United Court System to facilitate the audiovisual coverage of court proceedings to the fullest extent permitted by the New York civil rights law and other statutes. So I guess I'm allowed to, unless they can come up with a reason for me not to. And there is a form called the Application for Audiovisual Coverage. So I fill this thing out. I don't even know half of what I'm filling out here, but there's a part where you can check all the things you want, and you can televise live. I didn't check that. Videotape for later broadcast. I picked that. Use still photography for later publication. I checked that. And audio tape for later broadcast. I checked that as well.
Okay.
And then I'm told you just go to court. Like, you can't even know in advance if you're allowed to. You just have to go to court, and on the day of the case, just give the judge the form, and the judge will decide yes or no.
If you can or not.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing this just as an independent freelancer? I know you've got some, you know, journalist credentials in your background. How does that play into all this?
Well, yeah. So I'm going just in my freelance capacity. I mean, I'm just doing this because I think, like, this could be an interesting story. Maybe I'll make something on YouTube. And so I get there, I get to court, and I've brought my miniature tripod. I have two GH5 bodies, because I'm thinking, best case scenario, they let me do this and I can set up one on a tripod that's just always rolling, and then I could put a long lens on my other one and take some photos and some video or something. I don't know. I wanted to maximize my ability. So I think I brought a couple long lenses. I must have brought the XLR1 adapter so I could record audio right into the camera. And that was my total gear. But when you get in the courtroom, there's like a TSA-style security checkpoint. And there's signs everywhere that say, like, you can't bring cameras in here. And I know, like, I feel awkward already just holding a tripod. Like, this isn't allowed.
this is gonna be fun,
right? But I send my stuff through the security through the metal detector, and of course immediately, or not metal detector, the X-ray. Of course, they see the cameras right away, and so the security guard just says, like, "You have cameras," I think, or something like that. Or maybe he even asked me, like, "Are you press?" Either way, he eventually just said, like, "I need to see your press credentials," and so I happen to have, based on my previous employment, and I still do some freelance work for them, I have a badge that says I'm press. But, and this worked. I pulled this out, I showed it to him. He was like, okay, great, you're in. But I'm thinking to myself, like, in the US, anyone can be press. We have the freedom of the press. Anyone can decide that they are press. I've done freelance for some press organizations where they just print me out, like, the worst badge. Like, they just make it, like, that day. Like, I don't think...
like in Microsoft Word?
Right. Like, I don't think press credentials are, like, an official thing, right?
But it sure helps to have one that's laminated, probably.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I mean, all a press credential really says is that I am authorized to work for this company. I'm sure it's better if your press badge says, yeah, I work for CNN, and maybe you're taken more seriously than I work for myself. But I don't think there's any reason you can't make your own press badge that looks very official, says press, and says, I work for myself. I'm a journalist.
We're definitely making Hey Indie Filmmaker press badges just for the
record. Oh, yeah. I should just make one with Hey Indie Filmmakers on it. And again, this falls into our category of we're not lawyers. Like, maybe I am saying something wrong. Maybe you're not.
This is how Griffin and Nick go to jail for forging press credentials. Anyway, all right, so you're in the building.
Yeah,
well, and I think security with your cameras.
I think the only difference would have been, like, if I didn't have the press credentials, I think what they ask people to do, because they don't want regular people just bringing cameras in, they're worried that they would film and they're not allowed to. I think had I not had that, they would have asked me to go right to the information desk and, like, check my camera in and leave it there until I left.
Right.
And maybe that would have been my second point at that point I could have said, hey, I'm actually here, I've filled out the application, I need to go to the courtroom and ask permission. And maybe they even would have said, like, well, go ask permission, and then if you get it, you can come back and get your camera. But I think having a credential just eased me through that. So I go upstairs to room 400, and right away, this guy standing outside the courtroom, I'm there 10 minutes before the court opens for the day, this guy, there's a bunch of people waiting to get in, and this guy asks me, "Are you Michael?" And I'm like, "No,
it's Michael, and I'm not Michael."
He was like, "Are you my attorney?" I was like, "No, because I've showed up. I was trying to dress kind of nice. I'm actually wearing right now what I wore to court that day. I'm wearing like a blue suit." I guess, okay. I looked nice enough to be his lawyer.
Now, this is not the powder blue suit you wore to prom, right?
No.
Okay.
No. This is a classy dark blue suit.
I need to throw a picture up of the prom photo, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Continue. All right. So you're not a lawyer. You're not Michael.
Right.
Got it.
But I go inside, and this is the, it's called the Part B courtroom. It's a huge courtroom, and they're going to see like 100 cases that day. They're all like quick cases. And so I go in, and giant ceilings in this place. And there's a court clerk near, like, you know, there's like the bar, like that literal thing that separates the audience. And at the bar is the court clerk, who's like a police officer. He has a bulletproof vest on, but he's there to receive my request. And so I go up and I ask him about this thing. I show him the form, and he's asking like who the defendant is. I was like, it's Paolo Prezzetti. And he goes, "Is that the drone guy?"
So he knew.
Yeah. And then he said, "We'll ask the judge and see what she says." And then as I'm like turning around to leave, he says, "This is the guy that flew a drone into a building or something." So yeah, he knew the case. That was at 9:20 a.m. And then at 9:37 a.m., he called me back up and handed me my form and says, "It's been denied."
Oh, yeah. Just like that.
Here, I can show you the form. It just says denied at the bottom. No explanation.
And that was denied directly by the judge in this courtroom.
Yeah, Judge K. Pack. She
okay.
Didn't like my request. So this is what I don't know. Like, there's no explanation. He even asked me, like, as he gave it back to me, he was like, "Are you a freelancer?" And I was like, "Yeah." But it made me wonder, like, why would he ask that? Like, am I more likely to be approved if I'm NPR or CNN or something? Or
I wonder, you know, if someone who does this every day has a letter from the from the organization's lawyer explaining why they need access and why they should not deny it or something.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of legal weight behind me.
I'll be your lawyer.
I also wonder, like, should I not have asked for as much? Should I have only checked videotape and not
video
still
or
photography?
Something.
Or should I only have said still photography? I don't know. If I was really angry about this, I figure I could just file a FOIL request and, like,
that's a Freedom of Information Act, you're saying?
Yeah, or Freedom of Information Law. I think it's different. I can't remember why it's FOIL. But actually, I don't even think it might not even be a FOIA thing. It might be like a different state law here for me to request records. I think I am allowed to request records. But I'd be curious to almost get, like, I want to see all the applications over the last 6 months. I want to know, like, which ones are approved and denied.
How many are approved.
You could almost get a sense of why. But
so I guess the important question is, did you bring your colored pencils?
Yeah.
So you could do your courtroom sketches?
Well, I thought I'm already
that's
here.
What you're down to at this point, right?
I'm there. I mean, I can't pull out my camera, but I do have a pen and a piece of paper. And so I just sit there and I take notes. For the next 3 hours, I watched 32 cases happen. And I just started kind of writing down what was happening in case anything interesting happened. I mean, one thing that happened right away was maybe 20 minutes after I got there, this guy named Grant Lee was standing beyond the bar with the judge and his lawyer. And these cases were moving very quickly. This is almost like triage at the beginning of the life of these court cases. Like, they're coming in and some of these cases are just being dismissed immediately because the state is like, we don't have enough evidence. And so this one guy, Grant Lee, he had a marijuana possession case. And I guess the state didn't have enough evidence, so they moved to dismiss it. And he is super excited. He comes out from beyond the bar, just like pumping his fists. And he looks at me because I'm in the second row. I'm right the first row that I'm allowed to sit in, right behind the attorneys. And I smile at him because he's smiling kind of at everyone. And then as soon as he like catches eye contact with me, he decides to come sit down with me. And he's telling me all about how his court case was such, it was a terrible case, and he shouldn't have been arrested in the first place. And then he goes up to the court clerk because he's trying to figure out what is he supposed to do next. Does he need some piece of paper that proves that he was dismissed? And while he's up there, this clerk, the same guy that talked to me, he had seen that we were talking, and he tells this guy, he points at me and he says, "You can't talk to him." Like he's just
okay,
saying,
that seems odd.
Yeah, that feels like a violation of my First Amendment.
He can't talk to anybody he wants, right? Especially if his case was just dismissed.
Right. I don't know. Maybe he's saying he can't be disruptive in the courtroom with me. But if he wants to come sit next to me and whisper all about his case, I don't know what's the harm in that.
Well, you got more Freedom of Information Act requests.
Yeah. The only other interesting thing that happened was about an hour after that, a woman named Savannah gets up there, and it sounded like everything was going well. It sounded like they were telling her that she was going to get time served, like the time she had already served would be her sentence. But then she gets angry when she finds out they're going to like combine two of her cases, and she still has to like show up to court again. Even though they're telling her like it's all going to be okay, I think they're just telling her she has to like come to court one more time to do the sentencing. And she just freaks out at this because she's so sick of coming to court. So she starts screaming, "I can't deal with this f***ing shit. You don't make it easy for nobody. Like, jeez, what the fuck at this point?" And she's just screaming until they remove her from the courtroom.
And she get held in contempt? I assume maybe we might be doing a little more time now.
I don't know. I think they just let it go. All of these cases were so quick. And I started to realize maybe this is why I'm not being allowed to film, because you know the court case would be over in 2 minutes, and maybe it's just not the nature of this particular Part B courtroom to have cameras in it.
We haven't gotten to the crazy part yet. Paulo, did he show up? What happened?
Yeah, like they're doing them in these random order. Like it seems like they're kind of just doing these court cases in whatever order the attorneys are available. And so I sit there for 3 hours, and they still haven't gotten to his number. And I don't see anyone in the courtroom that looks like they've traveled here from Switzerland. And so eventually after 3 hours, I give up and I go home. And later in the day, his case is updated in the system. And it just says, yeah, he didn't show up. And there's now a warrant out for him.
Interesting. So you spent a lot of time and did not really get anything you were looking for.
Yeah. But I guess I learned a little bit about like how the court system works. But it's also like
opaque.
Yeah, it's not very clear what's going on, and I almost feel like I had to show up just to even know what these things mean. Like if I look at his court case, all it says on the day that I was there on January 10th, it just says warrant stayed as like what happened to him, which I think that just means there's a warrant out for him. And then 8 days later he's supposed to show up again. And I don't think he showed up, but it just says adjourned section 170.55, which I look up. And I think what it means is, I think what they're saying is he's kind of on probation for the next 6 months. And if he does something again, then he's in real trouble. But if he's not arrested again in the U.S. in the next 6 months, they're probably just going to let the thing get dismissed. I guess they're just saying it's not a big enough deal for us to like have this on his record for the rest of his life. And he doesn't need to be arrested next time he comes back to the U.S.
Interesting. Yeah, if the warrant is stayed, that means it's like delayed. Like it's when you stay something, it's like putting it on hold.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you should try and get in touch with Mr. Paulo and get his side of the story.
Well, yeah, actually, that was the first thing I did when I noticed him in the criminal system. You know, a day after his arrest, I think I emailed his legal aid. I think pro bono legal organization that was defending him. And so I emailed them, and I emailed the assistant district attorney who's going to be prosecuting him. And I just asked them both. I said, I'd love to hear his side of the story. And for the assistant district attorney, I said, I'd love to know more about what you're doing to protect New Yorkers from drone crashes. But neither of them.
And you received no reply.
Right. I mean, that's why I'm interested in this, because it's just kind of like, it doesn't happen a lot, and it's kind of murky legal precedent. Like what happens to you if you crash? I'm not even seeing people being prosecuted for flying. I'm just seeing people prosecuted for crashing, even though they're both illegal.
This sounds like it could be your first narrative film that you make. You know, it's the story of Paolo Prezzetti.
Well, and it looks like he may get away with it from the state. I don't know if they're going to ask anything of him. But if the FAA can get a hold of him, I do see that the FAA usually fines people after crashes, and it could be as high as like $2,200 for this.
Wow. That's crazy. It's crazy. Don't crash your drone.
Yeah. Don't fly your drone. Don't take off in Manhattan, in the middle of Manhattan.
And smash into a building.
I actually think in the next week or so, I'm going to make a video that is why you can't fly in New York, like kind of a roundup of all the laws that that make it impossible to fly here.
I can fly where I am.
Yeah.
Aha. Come to Nevada.
Should we talk about our generous sponsor for this episode?
We should. So, Hayden the Filmmakers is brought to you by Squarespace. Bring your stories to life with Squarespace, the easiest way to create an exceptional website, blog, portfolio, or online store.
So it's the beginning of 2019. I just did my taxes, or got most of them done. And so I'm kind of looking at all my expenses for the year. And would you believe it that I spent $2,400 on web services this year, or last year?
Does that include things like Adobe?
Yeah, I think I'm including Adobe Creative Cloud in
there.
Then
yes, I believe it. I believe it.
But I noticed
that Squarespace is a huge chunk of that. It's very expensive to run a website.
No, actually, let's see. I spent $144 on Squarespace last year. That's $12 a month. Divide that by $2,400. So a full 6% of my web budget went to Squarespace. So it's not particularly expensive to run a website. And this may be the part of the year where you're thinking about your business. And if you think that having a website could help you grow your business, we do have a special offer for the Hey Indie Filmmakers audience. You can try Squarespace for free for 14 days. And then if you're wanting to buy something, you can get 10% off your first purchase just by going to squarespace.com/griffin.
Squarespace.com/Nick will give you nothing, or at least it will credit some other Nick who is not us. So don't use that.
You should have to pay 10% more on your first purchase.
Griffin, I did a thing.
What did you do?
I'm reaching. I bought a camera.
Ooh.
And it's much bigger than my old camera.
Your old camera is
the Panasonic G85 Micro Four Thirds, which I've been shooting on forever, but wanted to try a little full frame action. I got the Sony A7 III, which is kind of exciting. First thing you'll notice is, guess what? Full frame lenses are way bigger. This thing is definitely bigger than my Micro Four Thirds kit, but. Was really interested to try it, mainly for photography, actually. Yeah. Just felt like I wasn't doing a lot of photography. The two things that really drew me to it are it's got crazy fast autofocus, and it's really good in low light, obviously, being a full frame. And I just wanted to try that out with chasing the kids around. So.
And you're filming this episode right now on your G85, is that right?
I am, but... this is probably the last episode that'll be filmed with the G85. I think probably moving forward, the A7 III will take over that job, which is going to introduce a few levels of difficulty, but we're going to work around those.
Yeah, what about
it's not quite
recording
perfect
time
for video? Yeah, it's got a 30-minute recording limit, so either I keep an eye on it and make sure I hit record again, or what I'm thinking I'm going to try is just using it as a camera and outputting HDMI to my computer and recording it there. So I can get around that recording limit. But yeah, that's frustrating.
Well, this episode, we've been doing shorter episodes recently, so this episode may fit under 30 minutes.
It would fit. Yeah. We're at 26 minutes right now, so we got to wrap it up.
I'm curious, not to extend the episode too long, but I'm curious, just thinking about resale value, what did you buy? Do you remember what you bought your G85 for and what you're able to sell it for?
Oh, boy. I don't remember what I bought it for. I want to say maybe like $700 or $800. Does that sound right?
That's like with a kit lens?
That's with No, I think I bought it body only because I had all the lenses already.
Oh, yeah.
No, maybe I bought it with a kit lens and immediately sold the kit lens because it's just it's a way to save a little money.
Right.
So that might have been with a kit lens. But yeah, I'm going to sell it for like between $500 and $600, I think.
All right. So you're able to recover like 2/3 of the cost of it or something?
Yeah. And then, nice. You know, I've got some lenses to unload, and the A7 III is $2,000, and this I bought a Tamron 28-75 f/2.8 lens, which is another $800. So not an inexpensive investment.
Yeah.
But you know, you gotta do it right.
Well, that'll be fun to like be able to compare our Panasonic and Sony experiences more on upcoming episodes.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going through trying to figure out like what kind of lens would I need, and I was like, you know, all that crop factor stuff I've basically ignored forever reared its ugly head, and I had to figure out, you know, what am I used to? So like the 12-35, which is like my favorite lens on the Panasonic, I think would be a 24-70 on a full frame.
That's
it's
correct.
A 2x crop factor. So this Tamron is a 28-75, so it's a little tighter. And so I realized probably can't use this Tamron lens for podcasting because it's not wide enough. So I bought a 24 millimeter prime.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that'll be perfect for podcasting.
Yeah, that will hopefully work. So
yeah,
that's the game plan. That's the game plan. So more to come, but I'm learning about the new Lightroom CC for raw editing. I'm doing it on my iPad, which I think is really cool. I love the new, you know, kind of Adobe way where you can import on your Mac and then everything shows up on your iPad. You can do all your editing there and then it all syncs back to the Mac. So
yeah,
kind of learning about that workflow, and that's what
I know not everyone loves the new Lightroom CC, but I don't think I've used Lightroom Classic, but it wasn't like a big part of my workflow before, and so now I'm actually a pretty big user of Lightroom CC. I like it.
I've tried using Lightroom in the past over the years, and it was always just a touch too complicated for like the level, you know. I'm not a professional photographer doing real shoots all the time. I think if I were, that's what I would get into. But for family shooting and whatever little random stuff I do, it's just a bit too heavy. So I've been using Apple Photos, which actually works pretty well, but it doesn't quite have all the features I want. So CC seems to be that kind of perfect in the middle between Apple Photos level of complexity and Lightroom Classics level. So I like that. And I definitely like being able to sit on my couch and do the edits with my iPad. Otherwise, I just never edit photos. So. So far,
I kind of just like that all my photos are available all the time, that I can be out in the world somewhere and someone says, hey, how was your vacation? And I can pull out my iPhone and I have my entire catalog of photos right there. And I can even export one to like post on Instagram or something.
Yep. It's cool.
Yeah. This was not an ad for Lightroom CC. They do not sponsor the podcast.
Oh, but it is handy. Yeah. And I got 3 months of it free, I think, when I bought this camera from B&H. So
cool.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm on like the 1 terabyte plan free for 3 months or something. So I actually don't know what it's going to cost me when that's over, but I think it's like 10 or 20 bucks a month maybe.
Well, that's the big downside. If I could figure out a way to use Lightroom CC but have it store all my photos on my personal network-attached storage and access it that way, that'd be great. But you have to pay Adobe for the storage space.
Right. That's why I think like my catalog of record for my photos will still be Apple Photos, and Lightroom will kind of just be like my workspace. So I don't think I'll need the huge storage plan, because once I export and put things into Photos, I can delete them out of Lightroom.
Right.
That's my idea. But hey, if anybody has tips on workflow when you want to really use raw shooting and an iPad, I would love to hear it.
Yeah. Well, before we
go, you've got some exciting announcements, right?
Yeah, I just want to mention, I think this will be a big week for me. Well, if you've been following my social media, you know that on Monday, Indie Mogul announced that they're back, and I'm going to be on the channel.
Congratulations! Welcome back to where all started.
Yeah. And so this Friday, in 2 days, is the premiere of my show, Cheap Thing versus Expensive Thing, which you may remember.
Isn't this a show you've done before? Yes, that's what I was just going to say. I've heard of this before,
yeah.
I think.
This was something I kind of created on my personal channel almost as a test a few years ago. And over the years, we've talked about ways to make it into a bigger thing. And so now that IndieMogul's coming back, they were looking for something to have me on, and this seemed like the right kind of show for IndieMogul. It's a show about, like, the first episode on Friday is going to be taking a $1,500 drone versus a $50 drone, like a $50 knockoff of the same drone. It's a Mavic Pro versus its $50 knockoff.
You didn't fly them in New York, did you?
I flew them in New York State, outside the city, where it's legal.
Okay, because we know what happens. You'll have to run to Switzerland.
Right.
You get arrested.
So that's happening
on
Friday.
And you got one other announcement. Come on.
And then also on Friday, I have a film coming out. It's called Argon, and it's about neon lights. Actually, it's about argon lights.
Argon being a noble gas? Do I have that right?
Yeah. Yeah, you've probably heard all about neon lights, class. But maybe you don't know much about argon lights.
Ooh.
So I have a short, like a 5-minute or 4-minute documentary about how to build those.
And where can we find that, or do we not know yet?
Well, you can look for my new show on IndieMogul. So be sure you're subscribed to IndieMogul and turn on notifications. And same with my channel, just if you're subscribed. And maybe you want to click the notifications on to make sure you see it first when the film comes out.
Is that what the bell means? You see that at the end of every YouTube video where people are like, click on this, please. And I don't even know. I don't understand anything.
That's all it is, yeah. You can.
And notificate, like I'll get a push notification?
Yeah, I think on your phone it's a mobile notification. I don't know what it is on desktop. If it's...
Oh, I see. So I just went to youtube.com/Grefinity, where we host this fine podcast. I'm subscribed, but the bell is not lit up. So if I click the bell...
Light up that bell.
Light up that bell. Now I get it.
Now you'll know when it comes out.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Anything else, my friend?
No, that's all for this
week.
Hey,
we met your baby on the last episode where I was replaced by a cat.
Right.
Yeah,
this is the first time since Peter was born
that
you and I are together on the podcast again.
Should we turn the podcast into a parenting podcast now? I don't think the audience cares about that.
I think some of our audience would not mind. We should do a spinoff podcast.
Yes, yes. Where, like, I tell you all the things I've done wrong with my children, and then you can correct that and actually raise a good child.
Oh. Poor Nick's children.
It's sad but true. No, they're okay. You know,
they'll be fine.
Hey, I haven't enough. You know, I've got 3 kids, but I actually have a 4th on the way. So we're gonna have little baby kids the same age, basically.
6 congratulations.
Months apart or so. Thanks.
Yeah, it's funny to talk about.
Oh,
news
it's
that, like
a competition. Which kid will be better in 20 years? We can just, it's like we're competing.
Yeah, so we mentioned this today, and in 20 years we'll come back with an episode where we check in on the
follow-up
status of
episode.
Our children.
Yeah. We'll rate them via some sort of numeric scale.
I feel like I'm not giving you proper congratulations for your 4th incoming child just because
you've already had 3 and you're going to 4. Nobody cares, you know. They're just like, "Oh, great, you have more kids." Yeah.
But I think this is news to our audience. You haven't shared this broadly.
I have not shared. No, yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited. Keep them coming. That's what I say.
All right,
my friend. We should wrap it up.
Yeah. So lots of new videos
well
coming
over
out
my
next 30 week.
Minute limit.
And then I think you and I will probably be back with another podcast episode in the next week or so.
Love it.
Take care, everyone.
Bye bye.
Okay.
End scene. Wow, my shot is overblown. It got bright outside.